Hey everybody, all right, it's time for our feature segment here. And again, we're joined by special guest Deandra Wolf. And today we're gonna be talking about the new sales pricing experience. Well, it's called or pricing experience, let's just call it, that was introduced into Business Central with version 2020 Wave 2. So October 2020, this was released. And so it's a new pricing experience for setting up and managing prices. So welcome, Deandra. Thank you for joining us. I invited her to help explain what is the new pricing experience, what are some of the new features, potential benefits of using it, and how to get it set up and deployed. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And so let's just start off really high level. So for people, right, a lot of people, you know, aren't familiar with what, when you say, oh, new pricing experience, you know, what is it? So what is it for? What is it? Or what does it add, I guess?
Honestly, I think that better visibility across the board, mm-hmm. Better way to maintain your price list, especially if you have structured pricing.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned price lists. Mm-hmm. So I know currently there really is no concept of price list. So like, how would you go about what would be an example of what would you set up a price list for? Like, what would be an example?
Let's say you're in distribution and you have distributor pricing, you know, based off of list price, 50% off list, 45% off list. You can create price lists based on those different price groups, okay. Customer specific pricing, customer discount pricing, and, you know, keep it all in one place where it can be maintained, ending dates, inactive, you know, there's statuses in the headers now so that you can update the lines where it's not all manual anymore.
One of the biggest tricks in and again, I, you know, using NAV and Business Central for years is kind of understanding. You mentioned a lot of different things there, right? You mentioned discounts, you mentioned customer specific prices, you mentioned group pricing, like if you're a distributor. I think it's always been kind of difficult to understand the lay of the land, like what prices are applicable for this customer. So when you create a price list now, you're saying you can create a price list and you can say, this is for my distributor pricing, or this is my gold customers versus my silver level customers.
Correct.
Or you could create a price list that is customer specific. Like, these are the 20 items where this customer has like a unique price that I've kind of quoted them for these items.
Right. So you could make a customer specific price list. You also have the option to allow updating to the defaults of those price lists. So it can be customer for all customers, but make customer specific pricing in within the lines to multiple customers.
Got it. Yeah. So I noticed one of the hard parts, in terms of like efficiency, right? It's always been kind of difficult to, like, let's say you have a customer A and they've got like a list of like 50 items where you've got these prices for it. And then you get this new customer, customer B, and they're kind of similar to A, and you want to kind of give them the same prices that customer A has. It was kind of a hassle to build that new price list. Is there a way to copy a price list then?
There's actually two very easy ways to do this now. You can start a new price list by copying the lines of a price list you already have, or you can also use the suggest lines, which you're able to pull over your entire item list or set filters in the options tab for pulling over groups of items.
Okay.
By like using an item category or specific to a vendor.
All right. So yeah, that's a huge, because at the end of the day, when you think about a company that's up and running, they've got hundreds and hundreds of customers, maybe thousands of products that they sell, managing those price lists has always been kind of difficult. You maybe have to build like a data port to export items and import them, or use like a configuration package to export your prices and then import new ones. And one of the tricks has always been that there's on every price record, you have a starting date and an ending date. And a lot of people don't know when the pricing is going to change, right? So you enter a starting date on your price records and you don't fill in the ending date. But then you get a notice that, hey, November 1st, we're going to be updating these prices. The vendor's updated costs, so we're going to update our pricing. It's kind of a hassle. You had to like export all those records and then update the ending date and then import all the records on maybe thousands of price records.
Yeah.
Is there an easier way now to do that with a price list?
Because the price lists have headers. It's a price list header. You can enter the ending date and it will update all the lines within that list.
There you go. So updating one field can say, here's the ending date for this whole price list and the thousand prices that are items that are on there. So that's huge, I think.
So why was there no end date before though? Is it just because you weren't sure when the price was going to change?
Right. Yeah, like so if you create these new prices and you go, you don't know when you're going to be updating them. So you don't want to put an end date on it. And then maybe that end date arrives, but prices haven't changed, you know, and now you've got no valid prices in the system. So it's common that you leave that ending date blank because you just don't know when prices might change. Right. Yeah. So that ending date was always critical. Like that was the starting date and the ending date were really the only ways that you could say that a price was active, right, or currently valid. And I think there's a new status field now.
Yeah, the price lists can be, well, they start default in draft, and then you actually have to change the status to activate. And then you can also make them, activate, active, and then you can make them inactive as well.
So for some reason you've got all this price list out there and for some reason someone says, hey, we're discontinuing this whole program, let's say. Maybe it was a promo or just some special price list someone created. You could just flip one flag to set it to an active and all those prices become like disregarded.
Yeah, they're still visible to you, but the price list will be inactive, so it's no longer part of the price calculation. Okay. For best price or lowest price.
So let's get back to that. Yeah, so that's a good point. So we're talking about all these things that have changed, but you know, what's the same? Is there still sales prices, discounts, and that best price logic?
Yep. So that's all.
So all of that's still the same. So this is just kind of a new structure, a better structure, like you said, with a header. And then lines that have all the items listed on it. So I think, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but the it sounds just easier to use and to understand.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, just visually seeing your prices and knowing where the price is coming from is, you know, the key point that I've noticed.
Yeah.
So would you anticipate all organizations using this in the future?
Eventually, they will all be using it. It'll become a standard. But right now, when you have the option, I think it just is a matter if it meets your business model as far as your pricing structure.
Yeah. Why change something if it's not broken?
Well, price lists, if you have a very structured, you know, industry pricing, this will work great for you. But if you have just quoted prices all across the board that never really match up, then price list isn't really for you. You still have the option to do that though with the price lists and still be able to maintain it and see it visually. It will be, you know, it'll be a great thing all around, I think.
Gotcha.
It's just easier.
So like right now, so like if I go into Business Central, I automatically see this like price list is enabled or what?
No, it's under the new feature management. You have to actually enable it, but once you do, you cannot revert back to the old way.
No.
So I would always make sure you either create a copy or do it in the sandbox, not start off in production.
Trying to think, like, are there really any reasons, like, to your point, Michael, like, yeah, why would someone not
right if you enable
want to use
it, gonna kill your price business lists?
No, I mean, if
it is different though, right? Like, you create and maintain your price lists differently,
right?
So I think maybe for someone who just doesn't want change, yeah. So what I think so I was kind of playing around a little bit with it, and it looked like, so like, if I go, let's say I have a customer and they're in my gold price group, but then I've also set up like 5 items with like unique custom pricing for them. Mm-hmm. What it looks like I can do is I can go to the customer card and I can still hit sales prices and it'll still show me those 5 items that I have the unique prices, but I can also go to price lists and the system automatically shows me a list of these are the price lists that are applicable right now for this customer.
Correct.
Which is nice.
So right? It only shows the ones that are applicable. Nice.
Yeah.
So before, like if you were to say to me without this new feature, if you were to say, hey, what prices are currently applicable for Canon Group, you know, this mm-hmm. customer in the demo, Cronus database, there's really no way to know that, to see it. Like you'd have to go, okay, well they're in this price group and they're in these are the custom prices that are set up. But you actually could have like multiple price groups just from a management standpoint. Like for example, maybe your company, like the Cronus company, they sell furniture, bicycles, and electronics, right? So you may actually have 3 separate price lists, one for each of those product lines. And right, so now you could have 3 price lists, plus maybe they're a gold customer for bicycles. So they get these extra lower prices because they buy a lot of bicycle stuff. But they don't buy a lot of electronic stuff, right? So they don't get any special pricing in that. I think the price list, it looks like it gives you a nice clean like list that goes, hey, this customer currently is eligible for these price lists here.
So can you select, do either of you know if you can select price lists that are not applicable? I can't say the word. Applicable to whatever it is you're doing?
Or are you, they wouldn't even show up on their list if it wasn't for all customers, customer specific, or they belong to that price group.
You can't make a mistake. Nice.
Right. Yeah, it still provides the like the lowest or best price.
Yeah.
Is what gets automatically applied. And I noticed a field, I don't know if you know, DeAndre, if you know, like on the, I thought this was interesting. If you go into sales and receivables setup, mm-hmm. there's a few new fields on there. And one of them is called price calculation method, but there's only one option. It's called lowest price. So any insights in why they added that new field there?
There you can have a partner or an ISV do alternative pricing logic that can be implemented. I think that came out previously in a different wave, and this priceless structure was built off of that.
Ah, okay, all right, yeah. So it's kind of a more structured way, like in the past we had done one example is we had a customer that said, all right, I've got this price list for this customer, but I've got these 20 custom prices that I quoted to them. And maybe on like 10 or 15, let's say 15 of the items, they get a lower price, right? A better price because they're going to be buying a lot of these. But then on 5 of the items, I'm actually going to charge them more because they're not going to buy them as often. And I want to make up some margin by charging them a little bit extra when they purchase those products. Mm-hmm. In the standard Business Central lowest price model, you needed an enhancement or an app, right? An extension to do that. So it seems like now there's a more, this price calculation method, you could actually create a new price calculation method, right? Mm-hmm. And then add your extension to just use that. So it's a more formal way of identifying that you're using a different set of pricing logic, like a modified pricing engine, if you will,
right.
To say, yeah, if there's a customer specific price, even if it's more, let's use that. But before, without the price lists or without this new field, the only way anyone would ever know that is by knowing that there was an enhancement that was done that modified the standard logic.
Otherwise, you have no
idea. It was buried. Otherwise, you would have no idea, no visibility that the standard logic wasn't being used.
So this gives you more visibility is what you're saying.
Right. I think across the board, it gives you way better visibility to your prices from what you've said. Like for a typical user to go in and understand what are the price lists that are active for this customer right now.
Right.
And then way easier management and maintenance of those as prices change each year.
Yeah. Updating prices, adding in new parts, price increases. It's all definitely easier than having to go to do like a rapid start and uploading it all that way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's say, so if you're a customer and you don't have this feature enabled, can you go in and just enable a feature and it's all going to work perfectly? Or do you know if there's some setup involved or?
We would just be creating your price lists. They could enable it. They'd have their default and then they would just need to start creating their price lists. Usually making sure you know ahead of time, you know, your pricing structure. So you know exactly what you're doing and then creating them from there. But the setup of creating those price lists is definitely much quicker than it would be in the current.
Average user know how to do it then? Or would they need like a 5-minute video or something like that?
It's
going to be a little bit different.
We can provide training on that, of course,
yeah,
but
it
is pretty easy once you just start getting in there playing with it. I mean, the suggest, it's all very simple. It's not overcomplicated. So suggest, you know, lines, copy lines, the header information works just as, you know, a header information in every other aspect of Business Central.
I get from everything we've just talked about and what I looked at real briefly just before today, and having trained users on the old way of setting up pricing and updating prices, I can tell you 100% certainty that this new price list feature is easier and more intuitive to learn how to do. Yeah, I'm sure there's just like anything else, there's training.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna probably need a little bit of guidance, maybe a little 15-minute training video on how it works. But compared to like deer in headlights looks that I would get when I go, okay, open up the sales price worksheet and run suggest item prices and now implements prices and like what?
Why so many steps?
So I think it looks way better.
After I've been using it now for a couple of weeks, I would definitely prefer to use this over the old way for sure.
Well, thank you, Deandra. We appreciate you joining us. More importantly, we appreciate you bringing the beer.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.